You think Halloween is scary? Wait till you find out what these globalists meeting in Egypt at the UN COP27 are planning. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Behind the Deep State for the New American Magazine. I'm your host, Alex Newman. And last week, we talked about how the global totalitarians pushing the climate narrative were now in the censorship business. They are frantically trying to silence any and all voices of dissent as they move from using COVID as the pretext for global tyranny to this shift into using climate change, allegedly man-made, allegedly caused by the gas you exhale, as the new excuse for pushing global tyranny. Well, I can understand why they'd want to silence everybody who's pointing out what lies they are telling, because there are trillions of dollars at stake. Hang on to your wallets, folks, because these globalists meeting in Sharm el-Sheikh have major plans. We'll be there as well. They're all going to be converging in mid-November, supposedly to solve the climate crisis. We'll see how that goes. But the top agenda item on the agenda for COP27 is something they call loss and damage. This is basically a massive reparations program. They actually call it reparations. You can see the World Economic Forum calls it a reparation. So do many others. And the thinking is that, at least the theory that they're trying to market to the public is, Western nations, rich nations, capitalist nations developed faster and earlier, and they put more CO2 in the atmosphere, and therefore every time there's a tornado, a hurricane, a flood, a drought, a fire, you name it, it's all the fault of you evil American middle class people who drive around in your cars and who have electricity to heat and cool your homes and to keep the lights on. So you're to blame every time something happens around the world. And so you must pay reparations. Yeah, you think I'm kidding, but that's exactly what's going on here. Basically, they're planning to loot what's left of the middle class in the United States, Europe, Japan, Canada, Australia, and then take that money and use it to bribe the third world kleptocrats who have kept their people in poverty in exchange for continuing to keep their people in poverty and playing along with this ridiculous so-called climate agenda that they have going. And this is not the first time they do this. In fact, WikiLeaks released some interesting documents from the U.S. State Department during the Obama years showing that they were bribing third world governments then, right? They offered to build expand the deep water port for the Maldives if the Maldives government would continue playing along with the charade. And you wonder, you know, you have the head of the Maldives, the president of the Maldives at the time, Nasheed Mohammed. I interviewed him briefly at a UN climate summit that we went to. And he says, hey, my country's about to disappear under the waves. Well, if your country's about to disappear under the waves, why in the world do you need billions of dollars from American taxpayers to dig a bigger port, right? Obviously, somebody is lying to us. And if really islands are going to be disappearing under the waves, why did Barack Hussein Obama buy a massive multi-million dollar mansion on Martha's Vineyard right by the seashore? Makes you think, doesn't it? Anyways, this whole loss and damage thing, the World Economic Forum put out this crazy article. They're the ones of the Great Reset fame. And they said it's time for climate reparations. They need to be at the top of the agenda at the COP27. And they kind of outline this thing. They say that by 2050, the economic loss and damage in developed countries is estimated at between $1 and $1.8 trillion. Right? They're just throwing numbers out there to give you a sense of how much money they hope to steal from what's left of the middle class. You can be sure that George Soros and the Rockefellers and the Klaus Schwabs of the world will not be paying any of this. They have all their billions stashed in tax-exempt foundations. How convenient. The people paying this, of course, will be the middle class in America. And this is what they're saying, right? And they actually report some of this stuff. You've got the Alliance of Small Island States. This is a group of governments that rule over the people on various islands. And they are calling for massive sums of money and the creation of a response fund that's going to, and I'm quoting here, help climate victims recover from the loss and damage caused by present and future climate shocks. Yeah. Again, every time there's a hurricane, a tsunami, maybe not a tsunami, that won't be hard to justify, but a fire, a drought, a flood, whatever, they're going to say you are to blame and you need to pay the money. Of course, very little of that will ever make its way to the victims of these third world kleptocrats. It will mostly line the pockets of the ruling classes there. But this World Economic Forum piece actually points out that this alliance of island governments is going to be backed by the G77 plus China. That's an alliance of 134 governments, including Communist China, the biggest emitter of CO2 on the planet, the most brutal mass murdering dictatorship on the planet. And so you have about 2/3 of the member governments of the UN are going to be supporting this agenda. And, you know, we've reported for a long time on the G77 plus China. Some years ago, they had this crazy summit in Bolivia. The headline was A New World Order to Live Well. And they signed this declaration saying that they all support the transformation of the UN General Assembly into an emblem of global sovereignty. In other words, they want the UN General Assembly to have legislative powers because, of course, they will control it. And then they will be able to directly extract money from American taxpayers by saying, hey, the global parliament has decreed that you must pay us this money. Right? And John Kerry, the climate czar, yes, that guy, used to be Secretary of State under Obama's regime. So he is going to be representing the U.S. in climate negotiations. And he was just speaking at the Council on Foreign Relations. That's a deep state headquarters here in America. If you have not seen the episodes we've done on the Council on Foreign Relations, go back and check them out. So he's speaking to basically the global elites, right? They're the ones who tell Hillary Clinton what she should be doing and how she should be thinking about the future.
But it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
So John Kerry, speaking of the Council on Foreign Relations, he says, we're very concerned about the impacts of climate on all these countries. So he seems very willing to fork over your money. This is the same John Kerry, of course, who flew to Iceland on a private jet to pick up his climate award. See, you are bad for driving a car. John Kerry is good for flying a private jet to go pick up his climate award. That's how this works, right? You basically need to just die, and they get to basically do whatever they want. So anyways, John Kerry goes on to say that we're all determined to come up with progress, but something real that we can begin to define for everybody. You've got to make things happen that can work, that can be functional in your own political system. Obviously, he's concerned about the Republicans taking back Congress in the midterms, which incidentally will be happening right amid the UN Global Warming Summit. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of the Republican so-called leaders have already caved on this. So, you know, they say they're going to have conservative solutions for climate change. Yeah, you might as well have conservative solutions to the tooth fairy, right? But anyways, it looks like the Republicans are probably going to take back Congress. And so John Kerry realizes that just throwing out a bunch of dumb numbers, you know, everybody in the world knows he's not going to be able to get checks for the dumb numbers he's throwing out. But he continues complaining. He says that for every $1 invested in low carbon energy supply, $1.10 is invested in fossil fuels. Yep, another barely veiled swipe at investors and banks that continue to finance the critical companies and industries that keep the lights on in our homes, that keep the AC and the heater on in our homes. Of course, these are the industries and the infrastructure that the globalists want to destroy so that they can ship all our jobs to China and have them do it all. But they say the math and science unequivocally make clear we cannot hit our targets unless we dramatically change that ratio. In other words, the megabanks need to join forces with us governments in this crusade, which is interesting because you now have attorneys general from 19 states investigating these megabanks for their collusion with the UN on these global climate schemes. And this is very concerning to the banks. Actually, they are very concerned about being investigated and potential charges coming up. And so Antonio Guterres, the socialist who's running the UN, he actually used to lead the Socialist International before taking over the UN. By the way, that's the biggest alliance of socialist and communist political parties in the world. They've got the blood of millions of innocent people on their hands. But so this Antonio Guterres, a big proponent of the Great Reset, he just proposed a massive tax on oil companies and gas companies to fund this reparation slush fund that the UN will then use to dole out to the third world kleptocrats that are keeping their people in poverty. Yeah, it's expensive to do this kind of thing, so they need a lot of money. Meanwhile, over in Europe, the people of Europe are about to face a very difficult winter. Their industries are shutting down because they don't have power. Many of them are not going to be able to heat their homes this winter. Many of these countries are actually facing blackouts, and the governments are telling them to prepare for that. And so the European Soviet, as Mikhail Gorbachev called it, better known as the European Union, is promising to double down on the insane policies that are destroying Europe and that are destroying Europe's economy. The EU Council actually put out this bizarre paper with their pledges and their ideas about what needs to happen. They say, yeah, we're going to double down on all this. They say they also need to have climate action in the agricultural sector. In other words, we need to keep stepping up the war on farmers, especially small and medium-sized farms, so that we can have a fascistic agricultural system where mega corporations in bed with mega governments can basically run the food supply. And then the EU says we also have to address the gender dimension. They never quite explain what that means, but presumably they believe that climate change impacts women more than men. I don't know. Don't ask me. They didn't explain. So they quote one of their leading negotiators, Czech Minister of the Environment, Anna Hubáková, and she promises that the EU superstate is going to keep doing what it's doing and do even more of it. She says all eyes are going to be on us in Sharm El Sheikh. All eyes except America, probably. And she says, the EU has been at the forefront of climate action. We will continue to lead by example. Yeah, I mean, people are going to see blackouts in Europe. People are going to see factories shutting down and economic catastrophe. They're going to say, yeah, we need more of that, right? We should do that over and over again. She goes on to say that we need to protect our planet for future generations, and this requires strong, common, global action. In other words, global governance. She says, I'm glad that the EU has proved today that it is serious about its ambitions. A lot of European governments are buying into this crazy agenda. The government in Denmark has already pledged $15 million for loss and damage stuff in the wake of these floods in Pakistan that are, of course, being blamed on global warming, just like everything else. The German government, meanwhile, which right now is literally facing the collapse of its industries because they can't afford the power to keep their factories running, they promised lots of support for these reparations. They got reparations for everybody, right? Just keep milking those taxpayers until they have nothing left to milk. They said reparations should be at the top of the climate agenda for COP27. And ironically, they're going to send an environmentalist wackadoodle, the former head of Greenpeace, yeah, seriously, as their climate envoy. So, yeah, imagine that. Meanwhile, the communist Chinese, the murderous dictatorship there, they are laughing all the way to the bank, okay? In 2015, during the climate summit in Paris, they agreed, basically, we're going to do nothing. We're going to keep increasing our CO2 emissions until 2030. And then once all of your factories, all of your industries, all of your jobs have set up shop in China, then maybe we'll possibly think about peaking our emissions and we'll see what happens next, right? So they are building coal-fired power plants faster than we can count them. And that's one of the ways that you can tell 100% for sure that this whole thing is a fraud, folks. Okay, if these people truly believed that CO2 was so bad, and it's not, CO2 is wonderful, the gas of life, the plants on this planet are starving for more CO2, and it does not control the temperature of the planet, contrary to what these clowns would like you to believe. Another fun fact, human emissions of CO2 make up a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of 1% of all the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. But if these clowns truly believed that CO2 was so bad for the planet, this is the opposite of what they would be doing, right? They would be trying to take jobs and factories out of China and move them to the United States or to Germany, where the CO2 emissions per unit of output are drastically lower than they are in communist China. Every time a factory shuts down in America because of high energy prices, every time a factory shuts down in Denmark or Germany or France because of absurdly high energy prices and moves to China, huge amounts of additional CO2 are going to go in the atmosphere, right? So common sense would tell you if these clowns really believed that CO2 was so bad for the planet, they'd be doing exactly the opposite of what they're doing now. Right. But they're not, right? They're not. They expect us to believe this charade because, of course, the fake media won't report any of this to you and because the tech censors will silence anybody who points out all of this fraud. Another fun fact, China releases more CO2 in the atmosphere than the U.S. and many of the European countries combined. So anyways, the climate industrial complex, they're trying to make you think that their victory is inevitable, right? All that's left is to sort out who's going to get the spoils, right? The loss and damage climate reparations fund. But I think they're being a little bit too cocky. In fact, I think as winter starts arriving in Europe and populations start realizing that they are going to be in major economic trouble, people are going to shift gears. In fact, something major just happened in Sweden. Sweden, of course, has been the climate leader of the world for who knows how long. They've had an environment and climate ministry for over three decades, and now suddenly, poof, it's gone. The new right-wing government that was just elected with support from the Swedish public has just literally axed and abolished the environment and climate ministry. And so the alarmists are crying. They're very mad. Greta Thunberg, I'm sure, is throwing a fit and using her typical slogans. How dare you? Right. But the Swedes are going to be much better off for it. Meanwhile, in the United Kingdom, as they are getting ready to freeze to death, my guess is that the British people are going to be very upset. Also, the rent-a-mobs are crying because they're mad that the Egyptian government might not let them, make a fool of themselves and occupy the streets and glue themselves to roads and all the kind of usual stuff that they do. Of course, these are tax-funded rent-a-mobs that go to make it look like the governments have public support for the stuff that they are doing. But my guess is that they are counting their chickens a little bit too soon, or they're trying to gaslight us. They want us to believe that this is inevitable when obviously it is not. But anyways, as the evidence of this pseudo-scientific alarmism starts collapsing all around us, and it is collapsing, folks. Obviously, the hysteria is getting louder and louder. But the global predators hope that by censoring everybody who points out these lies, by censoring all the scientists who are speaking out about this, by censoring the people who are calling out these lies, that they're going to be able to just run us all over. And we talked about the censorship last week. Go back and watch that episode if you haven't yet. But folks, yeah, this COP27 is going to be a big deal. The New American is going to have a team on the ground there. I will be heading over there very soon, and so will some of my colleagues. But one thing we do know for sure is if you are a middle-class taxpayer, you need to hang on to your wallet, because this combination of third-world kleptocrats, international globalists, fascist big businesses, and the United Nations is coming for what little bit of money you have left. And they want to shut down your factory, shut down your job, and move it all to China. So these are very serious times, folks. They're talking trillions and trillions of dollars to be stolen from taxpayers in the West to be redistributed to their buddies who play along with this insanity. I'm Alex Newman. This is Behind the Deep State for the New American Magazine. Thank you for tuning in. Stay tuned right here, because we're going to have a whole lot more information live from the ground in Egypt at the COP27. And God willing, you'll be following us, and we shall talk to you then. Till then, take care. God bless you all.
If you enjoyed this video, please make sure to subscribe, hit like, hit that little bell so that you'll be notified whenever we post new videos. And also, please make sure to share this video with your friends. Email's a great way to do it. Remember, there are powerful forces working to steal our freedom and destroy our country. We need to work together, expose those behind the deep state. Otherwise, you can kiss your liberties goodbye.